Bible Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen. Since we went on the air 10 years ago, Leanne Harter, Story County Outreach Coordinator, has come over to KHOI, whatever the weather, rain or shine, sleet or snow, to deliver the monthly report at 7 a.m. She even came the morning her house was struck by lightning. But with all the changes she and other county officers have been having and the changes we're having at KHOI, we decided it would be a good opportunity to have the other Story County officers deliver the county report and introduce themselves to our listeners. Today, Lisa Heddens, Story County Supervisor, is with us.
Well, good morning. This is Lisa Heddens with the Board of Supervisors with this week's update on what's going on at Story County. Under planning and development, the public comment period on the draft Ames Urban Fringe Plan concluded on Tuesday, including an interactive mapping tool that allowed the public to make comments. Three public meetings were held, and with what they estimate was over 200 participants total providing input on the plan. County Planning and Development staff has taken the lead on compiling all of the comments, identifying common themes, and will bring recommendations on changes to make in a final draft to the Board of Supervisors in early August for direction. Staff will also provide the other cooperators with the comments and the county's preferred path for moving forward. The cooperators will have public hearings on a final draft and anticipate additional outreach will occur on that final draft. Under our conservation department, West Peterson Park is closed, which started on Monday, June 13th, for beach and beach access improvements. A newly paved path will be installed leading from the parking lot to the beach, and a two-tiered beach system will also be installed. The beach will be closed anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks due to weather and contractor work. Since Peterson Beach is closed, I do want to highlight that Hickory Grove Park Lake is now open for use. Swimming, fishing, kayaking, and canoeing are open. Concession and rentals are not open yet as we are hiring a waterfront aide to run the concessions and canoe rental. We hope to have the concessions and rentals open within the next few weeks.
Surely we'll have some broken road construction to contend with.
On two projects that will impact traffic on paved routes, which will occur probably in August or early September. R-38 from Ames to Slater will have one-lane traffic for a few weeks, and S-27 south of Highway 30 will also have one-lane traffic for a couple weeks. Both are for asphalt overlays. At our animal shelter, if you're interested in learning more about adoptable animals, you can contact the Story County Animal Control and Shelter to learn more. You can also check out their donation wish list online if you want to help them out at all. And then here at Story County, we do have employment opportunities, which you can also check out on our website under the How Do I and apply through the portal on our website. We will also be participating in the Ames Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 18th, which begins at 3 p.m., so please stop by our table to learn more about Story County. And then as a reminder, the Board of Supervisors meetings are held every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., and people can attend either in person or via Zoom. And lastly, if you have any additional questions or just want to learn more about Story County, please go to www.storycountyiowa.gov. And certainly can contact us here at our offices. We're happy to help or direct people to the right people that to get their answers or questions responded to. And that's kind of what's going on at Story County.
Well, thank you very much.
In Lisa's report, she mentioned that the county will be participating in the Juneteenth celebration this Saturday, the 18th, and we have the interim president of the Ames branch of the NAACP, Bern Hawkins, to tell us about it. Hi, Vern.
So I understand you're the person to tell me about the Juneteenth celebration.
I'd be more than happy to tell you about it.
So when is it, and where is it, and why is it?
Okay, the Juneteenth celebration is this coming Saturday, June 18th, at the Ames Bandshell Park, and it starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It is a celebration of Black history and Black culture, and there will be all kinds of opportunities for people to maybe hear music and maybe participate or taste some of the foods that might be available. I'm not sure exactly even what's going to be there. And then also experience various aspects of African-American art, like literature, poetry, painting, and the like. So it'll be a celebration of African-American culture that we want the whole Ames community to participate in and experience.
Well, I understand that this is the first year that it's been a national holiday. And can you give me any background on that?
Yes. It became a national holiday almost exactly a year ago when President Biden made it an official holiday. Prior to then, it was just kind of an informal holiday within the Black community. And I guess that's unfair to say it was just informal because back in the 1980s, Texas became the first state to acknowledge it as a day of significance within the state, as a state-recognized day. Since then, a number of states have also added that among its celebrations, including the state of Iowa. And then it was last year that Joe Biden made it a national holiday.
Well, why was Texas the first state that made it a day of significance?
That's an interesting thing. Texas was part of the Confederacy, and as you can imagine, just visualizing the southern tier of states, it would have been the westernmost, most remote state among the states in the Confederacy. And it wasn't until June 19th, 1865, that a Union general made his way to Galveston and read Proclamation Number 3 that basically said, or specifically said, that all people being held as slaves in Texas are now and forever free. That was the last state to free slaves. And part of the reason was it was so remote, there weren't enough Union troops there before then to enforce such a law. So that happened again on June 19th, 1865, and that was June 19th became Juneteenth. It's kind of a shortened version of June 19th.
Well, I was surprised when I was doing some research on this that the 13th Amendment, freeing the slaves, actually came after the Declaration in Texas.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And see, there's a number of dates that could be considered slave liberation. You could be, you know, people could look at the Emancipation Proclamation that was January 1, 1863, for example, and say, okay, you could use that as an emancipation, but the slave states or the Confederate states withdrew from the Union, so the order they considered didn't apply to them. Others could, you know, you could look at April 9th, for example, 1865. You know, that was the famous meeting at Appomattox Courthouse when the South basically surrendered. You could use that as a date. But I think, on a realistic point of view, we have to kind of step back and realize that in 1865, news didn't travel the way it travels now. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have TV. that would tell us instantaneously when something's going on. So the official word that the war was over and the slaves were free didn't hit Galveston until June 19, 1865. And that's where the Juneteenth came from. But you're absolutely right. There were some other states that were not really part of the Confederacy, kind of a technicality, if you will. The Emancipation Proclamation only freed slaves in states that were in secession. So if a state was not seceding from the Union, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't apply to them. And so there was some area of gray that some areas of the country still might have been harboring slaves that really applied directly to them. And so that's when we come to the 13th Amendment. The amendment, which was passed in December of 1865, basically said regardless of what kind of state you're in or what your background is, if you're part of the United States, there will be no slaves in your territory, period. And so that's where that amendment comes into play. So and that's also why there's all that confusion.
Well, I guess there's a lot of confusion in general about this holiday, even though it's now a national holiday. And you said something about it being really in the past celebrated just by African Americans, that it was like a family reunion.
Yeah, and I take that term literally, or take ourselves back in time to 1865. General Granger read that proclamation in Texas. It actually opened up the opportunity for family reunion. Keep in mind, one of the worst parts of slavery was the breaking apart of families and sending family individuals out to different plantations. When African American slaves were freed, obviously one of the first things they wanted to do was reunite with their family, find where their family was and get back with them. Literally a family reunion. And it was that kind of attitude that permeated the early celebrations of this celebration. So, yes, family reunion is a very appropriate term when thinking about Juneteenth.
Well, I'm looking at the poster for Juneteenth now in Ames, Iowa, and it says that the 3 to 7 is family activities and vendors, and 6 to 8 is a line dance party. What's a line dance party?
You'll have to show up and find out. I am not a dancer.
Well, they've got a DJ, so it must be. And the
You know, line dances are very popular. You know, you see cowboys movies and they're doing line dances. You see inner city movies and they're doing line dances. So line dances is a cross cultural thing. It'll be kind of interesting to see how this shows itself.
Okay. And just as it gets dark, it says from 8 to 10, there is a black superhero movie. And earlier we were trying to discuss what the name of that movie was. And I think that the reason that it's not named is that it's a Disney movie and there's some kind of copyright.
If it's declared publicly, rights have to be paid for or something.
That's right.
Okay.
So everybody who really wants to see a black superhero movie will probably already know what one it is.
You're probably right.
They also list their entertainment as being pretty much the things you mentioned: live entertainment, food and vendors, arts and crafts activities, movie night, games, and much more.
That's absolutely right.
And you can go to the Facebook page for the Ames branch of the NAACP. I think pretty responsible for this.
Yes, you can go to the Facebook page or the website by just searching Ames NAACP. It will bring you to the website. So either way, you can search it.
So, and of course, then they also have Ames, Iowa, NAACP.
Yeah, we try to have a rather broad social media presence there. So we got Twitter, Facebook, and a couple of other ways that the people who are technologically savvy can log into us.
And then in the poster that I have online, there is a large section that is, I think you could download and get the whole thing. It's the current event financial sponsors and supporters, and it's a very large, current event financial sponsors and supporters is a very long list. Starts off with the Ames Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, we're very proud and pleased that a wide variety of business and government offices within the Ames and Story County communities are financially supporting this event and will also be participating and be actively there on the site. So we're very pleased we have that broad support within the Ames community.
Well, I wish you well. It sounds like it's going to be a big success. Oh, yes, you do have a rain location, right?
Yes, we do. Harvest Vineyard Church will be our rain location, but I'm using all of my powers to make sure that we don't need that, so that we can have everything at the band shell. And I say that with a smile on my face.
Yes, I think so. It would be a wonderful event for Ames and for the Black community and for all of us.
For all of us, the whole community. You're exactly right. This is a participatory thing that we want the whole community of Ames and Story County to be involved in and feel comfortable with.
One of the purposes of the Juneteenth celebrations is to make the community aware of Black-owned businesses and Black culture, whether they are foods or dance. This Saturday, there will be various stands at Vanshell Park, but our next guest is launching her dream store in Des Moines. When I first met her, she was excited about becoming an entrepreneur, and now it seems her dream is about to come true.
Now I'm talking with a Black businesswoman who just opened a new store in the Merle Hay Mall. And I believe, were you invited to take that space?
Yes. It was a surprise phone call. You know, I came to Des Moines and I had a little boutique shop, but it was in a very exclusive area, and so I needed to find a space that was more open to the public, where, you know, people can really see it. And looking for space for my boutique was not easy. I contacted a lot of realtors and saw a lot of other space, but I was not having such the best luck. And then out of the blue, like when I felt kind of down and disappointed and frustrated, this phone call from the real estate agent of Merle Hay Mall came in, and he said, you know, I heard about your business. I don't even know how. It could be through other realtors that I had been seeing different spaces with, but I don't know. He just said, I heard about your business, and we have a space opportunity that we believe would be the best suit for your business in the mall. So I would like to show it to you. Would you be interested? You know, at first I'm still trying to figure out Merle Hay Mall because I'm new here, but I was like, yes, of course, absolutely. So I came and he showed me two spaces, and he basically, you know, said that my product, which, you know, I am a lingerie boutique with other accessories for women, would be of best fit into the mall, and they would really like to have me here. And when he showed me the two spaces, the nice spaces, and the first question he just asked me, do you think you can fill it? And I said, oh, absolutely. No doubt I can fill the space. So he said, okay, well, look at both of them and decide which one that you would like to occupy, and we'll get to the paperwork. So that's how I end up here in Merle Hay Mall, and it's been a blessing and an opportunity, you know. Being a minority woman and being a businesswoman, it's not easy. So any opportunity that would give you the ability to have your business being viewed in a bigger community, in a place where traffic for people is large, is a great opportunity. And I am expecting a beautiful turnout. I think this is an opportunity for the mall and myself to be integrated of minority businesses. And my business is all about uplifting and creativity. When you come here, I'm a seamstress trained, so I've been taught to fit. My mom was a seamstress, and she taught me a lot of things about sewing and dressing and sizing. And so when you come to Las Vegas, you'll be able to create something you may not even think will be your own. So I'm very thankful for being here and having the opportunity to present my business to my community. Yes, and I want to add one more thing. So Las Vegas sizes go from small to 5X, so this is for every woman, no matter what. I want everybody to feel comfortable and confident in their skin. So Juneteenth is a blessing for all of us to explore all the other minority businesses that are available. I'm sure you'll find something at somewhere that you will like. So get out and meet your neighbors of businesses, and let's all just, you know, say hello and smile. As my slogan says, be lovely always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is KHOY Community Radio, and I'm being joined by my pitch partner, Gina McAndrews. Hi, Gina.
Guess what? This is pledge time at KHOI, and we are asking for your financial support because it's folks like you who keep us on the air. But we'd like you to go a step further and become a sustaining member of this community radio station by giving a set amount of cash each month.
A basic KHOI membership is just $60, about 16 cents a day. What a bargain. And if you contribute $5 monthly, you cover your membership practically painlessly while sustaining your local radio station at the same time.
Or you can become a sustaining friend of KHOI by pledging $20 a month. Of course, the more you pledge, the more your local radio station can provide for you in music, word, and local news and features.
This is a great time to become a member of KHOI. Call 515-292-2878 for more information.
KHOI depends on its unpaid volunteers to produce the shows you hear at this spot on your dial. But we also depend on our listeners to provide the financial support needed to keep the transmitter humming and to pay other operating expenses. It helps make our operation much more stable if we know there is a set amount of revenue coming in each month.
Again, here's the contact information about becoming a sustaining member. Call 515-292-2878 and ask for details. And thank you.
And again, it's 515-292-2878. Or you can click on our website at khoifm.org and hit that donate button.
Who were the candidates?
So when we take a look at the candidates, you know, there's, of course, Nader Dajir, who's running for governor, and then we have several other candidates who were in the mix. Some came out of their primaries, you know, some did not. But I think, you know, individuals who I look at that are pretty positive about their chances, obviously Atiyeh Abdul-Samad, who has been a longstanding, you know, state representative that people, you know, really like. Ruth Ann Gaines in House District 33. And then you've got Isaiah Knox in Senate District 17. Ross Wilburn in House District 50. Dr. Kathleen Figueroa in Senate District 47. And you also have Jerome Amos, and I believe he's in House District 70. So most of the candidates that are out there, you know, I'm pretty confident about their chances, you know, now that they've come out of the primary. Probably the one candidate who, and there's also my good friend Phyllis Thede, who's also running for the House over in Scott County. There are quite a few really strong candidates out there. I think the candidates that might face the toughest re-elections would be Phyllis Thede, and for first-time candidates, Dr. Kathleen Figueroa. Most of the other candidates, actually within their districts, you know, they don't have a challenge in the general election. So individuals like, you know, say for instance for Isaiah Knox, Akeo Abdul-Samad, and Ruth Ann Gaines, they don't necessarily have challengers in the general or, you know, really strong challengers. So, you know, their chances of winning election are really good. And I also feel very good about Dr. Figaro over in Senate District 47. So far, she's put together a really great campaign. People are really getting to know her and like her. She's a very active candidate. So things look pretty good.
Well, I'm concerned with Deidre Dejeer. And I understand, I mean, of course, this is the most important race, I think, that we have on the state level. And I hear she's a wonderful campaigner. I haven't heard her myself, but everyone who's heard her says she's very dynamic and enthusiastic and works very hard. But, of course, even though she ran before Secretary of State, she's she's not very well known. And so do you have any comments about things that can, besides money, so she has more opportunities for campaigning, anything that anybody can do?
Yeah, I think the big thing would be, you know, obviously, you know, getting to know people is the biggest part. We've seen before in certain elections where one candidate may have, you know, quite a bit more money, but the other candidate still wins. I think it's a matter of people who care about this election and, you know, the governorship to say, you know, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to be involved. I'm going to make sure that I help either A, talk to people about Deidre Dejeer, or I'm going to set up opportunities for Deidre Dejeer to come in and speak with groups of people. You know, nothing is better for a political campaign than be able to look around and say, okay, I have been able to get in front of this group, that group. But also people advocating on a personal level with their friends and neighbors. You know, you really can't discount how important that is, that we talk to our friends and neighbors and let them know who are the candidates that we support and why. That helps a lot of people when they can look and say, okay, my friend, my neighbor, or my family member really likes this candidate, so I'm going to make sure that I support them as well.
Well, that certainly makes sense. And, of course, there's the other side of that, one of our commentators, political commentators, noticing the relatively high percentage of supporters for Deidre Dejeer, although they're not a high number who knew her. So some of that is negative for the other candidate. I mean, if people don't, for example, care for some of the the governor's education policies, well, they could vote for somebody else, like Deidre Dejeer.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that that's important. You know, not just, you know, that you're supporting an individual, but why are you supporting an individual? And how does that issue or concern connect with the people that you're talking to? You know, we always, when you're talking about the world of politics, or just about anything, you know, what is a person's issue? What is the thing that is their big interest that drives them? Because it's not the same thing for everybody. But it's being able to connect with that issue, being able to connect with that interest, and let them know why Deidre Dejeer is the best candidate for them. And I think, you know, Deidre's been doing a pretty good job of that as far as reaching out to different groups, different individuals all throughout the state, you know, and connecting with the issues. I just think that now that we're through the primary, you know, hopefully Deidre's going to be able to kind of kick that into high gear. And not only that, connect with some of the candidates who, like I said, you know, for some of the candidates out there, the primary was their main race. You know, they either don't face candidates in the general or they don't face strong candidates in the general. And for those candidates that do support Deidre, I think it's critical for them to say, you know, now that I've won my race and I'm pretty much assured that I'm going to be sitting in, you know, the elected office that I was working for, Now it's important for me to go out there and say, okay, well, how can I make sure that I help Deidre? You know, is it door knocking? Is it phone banking? Is it talking to the people who supported me during my campaign and making sure that, you know, I talk to them about Deidre? You know, and I think that, you know, hopefully Deidre is going to be able to reach out to those candidates and get their cooperation in doing that. You know, when we look at, you know, a state like Iowa, you know, we really do tend to trust our neighbors and our friends when it comes to what they're telling us. And so since Deidre's running a statewide campaign, you know, she's not able to be in one spot quite as long as, like, say, an individual who's running for that particular district. They focus on that area. And now that they've won, you know, can they help, you know, that focus in that area and say, okay, I'm going to make sure that now that I don't necessarily need to go out and advocate for myself, I'm going to advocate for Deidre in my district.
What do you think her main issues are?
Well, I know that one of the things that is very important to her campaign is education. You know, when we take a look at the education budget that came through this year and how negatively that's going to affect, you know, large swaths of Iowa, I think that's something that people are really connecting with and really concerned about. I know that another concern of hers is labor and the working class. You know, when we take a look at almost the past 2 years, really, there have been multiple strikes with multiple workplaces, multiple types of works, on people looking to get paid their fair share, on people being able to make sure that they can have, you know, good contracts and fair negotiations with their employers. You know, that is something that is also a focus of Deidre's. You know, and also making sure that, you know, when it comes to development here in the state of Iowa, you know, that we're looking at developing in the right way. You know, what are the industries, what are the things that we can do that make sure that we're going to help the state continue to grow? You know, these are all very important things to not only Iowans in general, but to make sure that we continue to become a strong state. And so those are the things I think that Deidre has excelled at. She's very interested in, you know, being a gubernatorial candidate. There's lots of different issues across the state of Iowa that she's focusing on. But those are some of the ones that I know I've heard her speak eloquently on, speak very well on, and has, you know, made the biggest connection with other voters, but not only myself as well.
Well, I guess that is pretty much the summary of the situation for the black candidates. Is that right?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we take a look at black candidates out there within the state of Iowa, there are a lot of really outstanding individuals who are running and who are doing well in their races. I think that, you know, what they have to be able to do is make sure they connect with those issues and they connect with people. And people see them just as a candidate who's there to focus on their issues and their interests. And more importantly, getting their name on the media there. Because we know there's, unfortunately, as we've seen, you know, elections have not only become, you know, partisan, sometimes they get a little bit nasty. But I think a lot of our candidates have done well as far as not, you know, stooping to that low bar. And have kept their campaigns positive, their campaigns about themselves, and their campaigns about the issues that they care about. And I hope that, you know, what we see with this election, and we're already starting to see it through the Deidre Jazeer campaign, the Isaiah Knox campaign, and through other campaigns, there are sections of the community that are excited about these candidates and these campaigns that are coming out to vote and participate in this election who haven't in previous elections. And I think that is the important thing. There is a new group of people who now said, I want to vote. I want to be part of this process. I want to make sure that this candidate, who definitely seems to have a care and an interest in my issues, makes it, you know, to the state capitol.
That was Al Bumble, chair of the Iowa Democratic Black Caucus, with his take on the results for black candidates in the recent primary elections and what their chances are in the general election. As we close out the show, we have a local view for Pride Month, which is in June. Though Gay Pride has been celebrated every year in the 5 years since the Stonewall riots in 1969, Pride Month was formally recognized by U.S. presidents for the first time in 1999, when then-President Bill Clinton declared June Gay and Lesbian Month. President Barack Obama reiterated this proclamation every year he was in office from 2009 to 2016. President Donald Trump acknowledged LGBT Pride Month in 2019 via a tweeted statement from the president. On June 1st, 2021, President Joe Biden followed suit with his own official proclamation, quote, Pride is a time to recall the trials the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer LGBTQ+ community has endured and to rejoice in the triumphs of trailblazing individuals who have bravely fought and continue to fight for full equality, the president wrote. He continued, while I am proud of the progress my administration has made in advancing protections for the LGBTQ+ community, I will not rest until full equality for LGBTQ+ Americans is finally achieved and codified into law. That is why I continue to call on Congress to pass the Equality Act, which will ensure civil rights protections for LGBTQ+ people and families across our country. And I quote from an article in the Des Moines Register about a local Pride event. Ankeny residents Jen Dreyer and Jill Bjorklund are organizing the suburb's first Pride event at the Ankeny Market and Pavilion, 715 West 1st Street, on Friday, June 17th, from 5 to 9 p.m. A rainbow fun run will follow the next morning at 8:30, starting at the High Trestle Trail parking lot near the Alba Family Senior Community Center at 150 Northwest Ash Drive. Organizers say Ankeny Pride will be family-friendly and include all age activities, including a magic show and a talent showcase. There will be makeup booths, local business discounts, read-alouds, book raffles, and more. Quote, our town has never had its own Pride celebration, unquote, Dreyer said, quote, we just really needed something positive around the queer community right now in Ankeny. Dreyer's wife Rachel is trans, and so is Brooklyn's daughter Lily. They said each was the first person the other knew who was in a similar situation, and they hope Ankeny Pride will afford an opportunity for those families and kids to see others like them in a place where they can be themselves. Brooklyn said that although Des Moines has its own Pride event, it's important for families and kids to see that they have support in their own community just a bike ride away, including kids who might otherwise be in a toxic situation. Who knows what lives could be saved, Bjorklund said, literally saved. Quote, I think it's important for people to see, first of all, that even though they may feel othered in their community, they're not alone, Dreyer said. Dreyer and Bjorklund also said that Ankeny Pride will be a way for LGBTQ families to be visible in a positive light and build acceptance. Ankeny has been roiled by controversies in past months over certain books by queer authors being in school libraries, and a recent after-school drag performance at Ankeny High School for a student organization. The Saturday Morning Rainbow Run is open to all, including those who want to walk, bring pets, or ride a bike. There will be best dress contests for kids and adults with prizes.
So, come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. My world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's a noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each bangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. Sometimes the deuces. There's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say,
KHOI Community Radio, and your local talk host today has been Susan Franson. And other guests you've heard have been Vern Hawkins, Al Wombo, Lisa Heddens, and Love Tima. You can listen to today's local talk show and any of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests along with relevant links to today's stories. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At the top of the hour. Morning Masterpieces will follow at 9 a.m. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just hit the yellow Donate Become a Member button. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.